Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading. And we'll find that in Nehemiah chapter 12. Nehemiah chapter 12 and verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Now these are the priests and the Levites that went up with Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, Seraiah, Jeremiah, Ezra, Amariah, Maluk, Hattush, Shechaniah, Rehum, Merimoth, Iddo, Ginnato, Abijah, Miamin, Maadiah, Bilgah, Shemaiah, and Joarib, Jediah, Salu, Amok, Hilkiah, Jediah. These were the chief of the priests and of their brethren in the days of Jeshua. Moreover, the Levites, Jeshua, Binui, Kadmiel, Sherebiah, Judah, and Mattaniah, which was over the thanksgiving, he and his brethren. Also, Bakbukiah and Uni, their brethren, were over against them in the watches. And Jeshua begat Joiakim. Joiakim also begat Eliashib. And Eliashib begat Joiada, and Joiada begat Jonathan, and Jonathan begat Jaddua. And in the days of Joiakim were priests, the chief of the fathers of Seraiah, Meriah, of Jeremiah, Hananiah, of Ezra, Meshullam, of Amariah, Jehohanan, of Meliku, Jonathan, of Shebaniah, Joseph, of Harim, Adna, of Meraiot, Helkai, of Iddo, Zechariah, of Ginnathon, Meshullam, of Abijah, Zikri, of Minyamin, of Moadiah, Piltai, of Bilgah, Shamua, of Shemaiah, Jehonathan, and of Joarib, Matanai, of Jediah, Uzi, of Salai, Kalai, of Amok, Eber, of Hilkiah, Hashabiah, of Jediah, Netaniel. The Levites in the days of Eliashib, Joiada, and Johanan, and Jadua, were recorded chief of the fathers, also the priests, to the reign of Darius the Persian. The sons of Levi, the chief of the fathers, were written in the book of the Chronicles, even until the days of Johanan, the son of Eliashib. And the chief of the Levites, Hashabiah, Sherebiah, and Jeshua, the son of Kadmiel, with their brethren over against them to praise and to give thanks, according to the commandment of David, the man of God, ward over against ward. Mattaniah and Bakbukiah, Obadiah, Meshullam, Talmon, Akub were porters, keeping the ward at the thresholds of the gates. These were in the days of Joiakim, the son of Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, in the days of Nehemiah the governor, and of Ezra the priest, the scribe. And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and with singing, with cymbals, psalteries, and with harps. And the sons of the singers gathered themselves together, both out of the plain country round about Jerusalem, and from the villages of Netophathi, also from the house of Gilgal, and out of the fields of Geba and Azmavet, for the singers had builded them villages round about Jerusalem. And the priests and the Levites purified themselves, and purified the people, and the gates, and the wall. Then I brought up the princes of Judah upon the wall, and appointed two great companies of them that gave thanks, whereof one went on the right hand upon the wall toward the dung gate, and after them went Hoshiah and half the princes of Judah, and Azariah, Ezra, and Meshullam, Judah, and Benjamin, and Shemaiah, and Jeremiah, and certain of the priest's sons with trumpets, namely Zechariah, the son of Jonathan, the son of Shemaiah, the son of Mattaniah, the son of Micaiah, the son of Zakur, the son of Asaph, and his brethren, Shemaiah and Azarael, Melalai, Gilalai, Ma'ai, Nathaniel, and Judah, Hanani, with the musical instruments of David, the man of God, and Ezra the scribe before him. And at the fountain gate, which was over against them, they went up by the stairs of the city of David, at the going up of the wall above the house of David, even unto the water gate eastward. And the other company of them that gave thanks went over against them, and I after them, and half of the people upon the wall from beyond the tower of the furnaces, even unto the broad wall, and from the gate, from above the gate of Ephraim, and above the old gate, and above the fish gate, and the tower of Hananiel, and the tower of Meah, even unto the sheep gate, and they stood in the prison gate. So stood the two companies of them that gave thanks in the house of God, and I and the half of the rulers with me, and the priests, Eliakim, Maaseiah, Miniamin, Micaiah, Eluenai, Zechariah, and Hananiah with trumpets, and Maaseiah and Shemaiah, and Eleazar and Uzi, and Jehohanan, and Malchijah, and Elam and Ezer, at the singers, and the singers sang loud with Jezrahiah, their overseer. Also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them to rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. And at that time were some appointed over the chambers for the treasures, for the offerings, for the first fruits, and for the tithes, to gather into them out of the fields of the cities the portions of the law for the priests and Levites. For Judah rejoiced for the priests and for the Levites that waited. And both the singers and the porters kept the ward of their God and the ward of the purification, according to the commandment of David and of Solomon his son. For in the days of David and Asaph, of old there were chief of the singers and songs of praise and thanksgiving unto God. And all Israel in the days of Zerubbabel and in the days of Nehemiah gave the portions of the singers and the porters, every day his portion, and they sanctified holy things unto the Levites, and the Levites sanctified them unto the children of Aaron. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Kind of a long chapter, a lot of names. Because we're not involved in that direct context, it can seem tedious to us. There are, however, some relief from the tedium in the way the outline works. So these names are given to show us the descent of the high priest from the days when the first captives returned to Jerusalem until the days that are being written about then. And so there was a succession of high priests. Now, we have to understand how important that would be for the people of God. Without a high priest, beloved, there is no Day of Atonement. There is no Passover, right? There is no temple service. There is no ministry there. And so there was, according to the Lord's faithfulness to them, when they came back to the land, there was a high priest identified by his lineage. And then notice that lineage was perpetuated all the time of the restoration. When they first got back under Zerubbabel and Jeshua, who was the high priest, and then from Jeshua, his lineage is given, descending until their particular day. This reveals to them the faithfulness of God in allowing them, in giving them, in granting to them a high priest so that they might serve him in that new location after coming back from Babylon, which was perhaps not a new location, but the old location, as everything was put back in its proper order. So that's the first set of names. Then there are the Levites that labored alongside those high priests and the regular priests, the one that could offer offerings. There were other Levites. Remember that Aaron was a son of Levi, and so Aaron's family were the high priests. The Levites made up the rest of that tribe, that clan, and they didn't do the sacrifices, but they labored in and around the sacrifice. right? So in the days when the tabernacle was being carried from place to place to place, it was the Levites, after the priests had covered everything up, it was the Levites that packed it up, put it on their shoulders, and carried it out wherever they were to go. But then there came a day in the history of Israel when David was inspired by God, and here he is called David, the man of God. What does that mean? That means he was a prophet, not just a king, but also a prophet. And as a prophet, David spoke, and through him came an upgrade, if you will, an advancement to the worship of God. In that, now that the ark was no longer being carried around place by place by place, it came to be settled in Jerusalem. Those Levites needed a new job. And David gave them a new job by the Spirit. What was the new job he gave them? To sing and to play instruments when the sacrifices were being offered. And so we have those Levites then that are also described here in chapter 12. You see, what's being done is they come back to the land, and all of this hubbub about building the wall, all of the hubbub about, you know, putting the gates up. Why is that? What's it all for? It's so that the worship of God can be conducted in the middle of the city without fear of molestation, without fear of attack, without fear of the walls not protecting that place of worship. So there were those Levites, and we're told of two different kinds of Levites here, two different kinds. The first kind is the ones that carried the psalm, right? It's the same Hebrew word, masah. They no longer carried the ark, now they carried the psalm, masah. But then there was another set of Levites, and they are called the porters. And who are the porters? What did they do? They stood at the gate of the temple to make sure that it was not defiled. The temple had four gates, north, south, east, and west. And they stood at the gates of those four gates around the temple complex, you know, at the court. They stood there to make sure that nothing that came into that temple would defile it. If you wanted to bring an animal in for sacrifice, for instance, the porter would look over that animal. As a Levite, as an educated man in the Word of God and God's worship, he would look over that animal and say, clean or unclean, blemished or unblemished. Of course, there was a perversion of that in Christ's day that we don't need to go into now. But if those men were operating honestly, the honest, godly worshiper who brought the best animal that he had would be let through so that he might offer that offering unto the Lord according to the set covenant. Also, with regard to persons, they would keep lepers out, right? But they were also stationed at other places inside. You'll remember in the days of King Uzziah, who wanted to offer incense. He brought his own censer with him that day. It was the Levites that opposed him. It appertaineth not unto thee, King Uzziah. And they weren't on the outside, they were on the inside. The king could come into the courtyard, but he couldn't go in to burn incense. And so they were in that inner area, guarding with their swords. Okay, so these are the porters. And so what is being seen here is that everything is being put back in its proper order. This is, beloved, a wonderful thing of forgiveness and mercy on God's part. Remember why they were carried to Babylon. There are basically two reasons. The first was for their idolatry, and the second was for their Sabbath breaking. Their Sabbath breaking and their idolatry caused them to be carried away captive. Now the Lord brings them back and sets them up again in the land and gives them protection and gives them a godly king, a heathen king that provides for the building of the temple, then good leadership for these 125 or 30 years that we're looking at, a descent of high priests, and a descent of legal rulers, civil magistrates, that will provide for all that is going on here. And what do? They open the books and they look back to what was written before. Three times in this passage, David is mentioned and how they put things back into order according to what David prescribed. I know we have some difference with some of our brothers regarding what we ought to sing in the worship of God. Should we sing the Psalms, the 150 Psalms, or should we sing other things? What do you think they sang in those days? This was a wonderful application of God's mercy that he brought them back to the land. So, did a number of them simply stand up and start writing new songs? If there were any songs written, beloved, they were found in the hands of prophets who wrote inspired words, just like David commanded, and they set them in the 150-tomb hymn book that Ezra collated in those days. So, beloved, everything was done according to the pattern. And so we see in the descent, we see civil authority, we see priestly authority, we see Levitical authority, and we see that under those favorable things that the people of God flourished, that they flourished. They were on top of the wall, they sung, and they could be heard afar off. They rejoiced, they embraced the worship of God as they should have. These were days of what some of our older divines would call revival. They were truly revived in their interest in the things of God. And remember that this all started when the people came together in Nehemiah chapter 8, and the Levites stood up and read in the law of God, and then they descended and they gave the sense. The people of God heard the word of God and they put their foot forward to reform the worship and to attend it and to profit from it. This is a wonderful day in the history of God's church, and we should rejoice thinking about the days of Nehemiah. They weren't done. There was more to do. We'll see that in the next chapter. But here we have this wonderful setting everything in order according to the pattern revealed in the mount. With that, then,